This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for letting me be in your company. Thank you so much for being in my company. It's the day after Cinco de Mayo, and we've all survived. I don't know who thought that they ought to build a holiday around tequila drinking, particularly tequila and margarita. I don't really understand what was the concept of a lime based drink drenched in tequila. All right. And if you hang anywhere around any of the local community watering holes that I hang around, you know that they colloquially refer to it as to kill her. And if you don't have any hers to kill, then you probably shouldn't be drinking this, right? So I just want to say, though, the one thing I love about being a Bahamian, and that is an advocacy of violence towards women. I heard you in the car saying it. Don't say it again. It's silly when you say it. It's literally just bar talk. Anyway, the thing I like about being Bahamian, though, is we ain't care what your holiday is or why you having your holiday. We don't care what sort of wonderful, patriotic reason, meaning, celebration that you have for your holiday. The only thing we as Bahamians care about is that it's a holiday and that liquor drinking is involved, and you could sign us up. So whether it is Chinese New Year, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, the Haitian New Year, Cinco de Mayo, what are the other ones? Hanukkah, we don't care. If liquor could be there, sign the Bahamians up. We ready to celebrate with you. We are ready to kind of, you know, just make sure that you know that we know that you are special and that you are a part of the brotherhood. You are a part of us. You are a part of our culture. And so we are going to shamelessly celebrate with you. So happy Cinco de Mayo day after for all of you that actually made it to work today, for all of you that are at home suffering. And not necessarily from a hangover, you know, but from drinking lime and tequila. Because that's what a margarita is. It's terrible. I don't know whose idea it was. I'm supposed to be joined in studio this morning by a good friend of mine. I haven't heard from him in a while. I haven't heard his voice on radio in a while. And so he's going to join me in studio. He's a bit wayward, so he always gets in a bit late. You know him as the once internet sensation. I'll wait till he gets here before we introduce him. But he's going to be with me in a short bit. So I'm opening the lines this morning, and the reason I've got to open the lines this morning, it's because, you know, I told you I have an 11 o'clock show. I don't know what you people do at 11 o'clock. What I do know is that while I'm in here, all kind of things just be happening out there. I don't know how it happens. I wish I was in Juan McCarthy's spot, because at least if I got in here at 12, the cussing would be over by the time as I got in studio. And then we could talk about the cussing fresh, right? But I don't get to talk about the cussing fresh. Why? Because They just wait till I get in studio to cuss one another out and throw bottle at each other, right? So if you followed the news any at all, you'd see that the Speaker of the House of Assembly, Halton Moultrie, is at it again. And I want to say this. I don't disagree with the Speaker. I don't disagree with his antics. I think every now and again, man have to be man. And that's kind of how I see it. I get it. These are all institutions. I get it. The institutions are for a particular function. But in the face of dysfunction, then all of it is going to malfunction. And so if he claims that the cabinet of the Bahamas is functioning in a way that it's not intended to function, and as a consequence, it's causing the parliament of the Bahamas to function in a way that ought not function, then I agree with him. It's time to kind of act out, right? Now, I got in a little discussion yesterday about whether or not it all came as a result of him not getting the bathroom. And I'm not saying that it didn't start because of that. I'm just saying that I think that the arguments that he now offers are a bit more grandeur than the bathroom argument, right? And I don't think that the bathroom argument was one that was moot or out of place. I just thought it was out of time. We were in the middle of a grave pandemic. The prime minister was overtaken with the weight of decision-making, particularly because they crafted the law in a way that makes the prime minister solely responsible for emergency powers, etc. And so I thought that maybe the speaker was just out of stride, right, with his requests for his new bathroom, etc., etc. But be that as it may, I think he's now pressing on to a greater good, to a common, more loftier goal, and I can appreciate that with the speaker. I don't think that that is frivolous. I think that that is something that we ought to consider. But I will say this, like the speaker or hate the speaker, I'm not a big movie buff, but man, this look like 300A. If you've ever watched 300, if you know Levin Miller, you know that 300 is my absolute all-time favorite movie. Gerard Butler is phenomenal. And the Parliament of Bahamas is beginning to look like several episodes of 300. So I'm going to walk you all through it this morning. I'm gonna see if you all saw what I saw when I saw what I saw in the Parliament. Anyway, my guest is here. You know him as internet sensation. Superstar popularity. The one and only Mr. International, Mr. World, is it still Mr. World Renowned? Mr. International, Johnny Bravo, is here with me. You know him from, what was it, that from Life with Miss Lundy?
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, man. Life with Miss Lundy, and I think you did. You had a series as well with
Breadman.
Breadman series, yeah. So you know him as your local community bus driver. Mr. International, what's been going on, though?
Right here, man, trying to make it. Mm-hmm.
Have you been watching what's going on in the parliament these days?
Boy. I haven't keeping up with them too much, boy. But from what I heard, boy, they got that boxing match and all that everything going on in that place.
It looks to me, though, let me tell you what it looks to be, right? It looks to be as though the speaker is a man that has reached his, you know, his length with the prime minister.
Yeah.
Don't offer me nothing because I ain't want nothing.
Yeah.
Don't give me nothing because I ain't want nothing.
Yeah.
And I ain't asking you for nothing because you ain't giving me nothing. Because I ain't want nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, since they had it in falling out, it was scaring around, mm-hmm. Look like they had odds. And, yeah, man, the hell with it, man. He ain't coming back, so whatever it is.
But I don't think the speaker is off of his key. Like, I think the speaker has offered very decent arguments. Listen, mm-hmm. I have a duty in the Constitution. Just like the prime minister has a constitutionally protected job, I have a constitutionally protected job. And ain't none of these other fellas' job constitutionally protected.
Yeah, so I have to do what I got to do.
You're around here acting like I's low fence.
Yeah.
And I don't know nothing but that. I 6 foot. I could never be a low fence, right? And so like I told them last week, and it's so funny because it was last week Thursday that I got to talk about the speaker and the prime minister. Guess what I get to talk about again this week Thursday? The speaker and the prime minister.
Goodness.
So the speaker break bottle on the court, right? Last week. And adjourn the parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Abruptly, he say, y'all practicing foolishness. I tell the little gal don't come to work. Y'all tell her come to work. She must be wake for y'all. I don't know who her allegiance to.
Speaker?
And I wasn't supposed to be here. And I called to find out who all was here. And she was here. So I quick put on my robe and come. Right? Because I want y'all to know that if a sound boy tests me. Yeah, if a sound boy tests me. You understand?
Yeah.
And that's why I hear, and you know what? None of this happening. I adjourn in the house, right?
Well, that's what his constitutional right.
That's his constitutional right. Nobody could say that in there. As a matter of fact, he has the right through the rules of the house. I think it's Rule 8, right? Mm-hmm. That if the speaker realizes that there's dysfunction in the house, he can abruptly adjourn it. But he say, well, COVID happening. Yeah. This is mass pandemonium taking place.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here, right?
The emergency orders.
Yeah, let's get out of here. And everything is kind of confusing now because of the emergency orders, right? Yeah. So the speaker break bottle on the court, walk out, carry the ball. No one could play. Because you can't, I don't care, prime minister, nothing. I don't care who you is, you can't have parliament without a speaker. Yeah. All right. And so the prime minister acceded to the speaker's requests. He did a hatched up plan is what the speaker referred to it as. The prime minister decided that he was going to do the PCR testing at the office of the prime minister. No one informed the speaker.
What?
The speaker say, y'all take me for Louis Lumpy. Y'all ain't hear me. I is a gangster. Right? So the speaker gets in the House of Assembly yesterday, and there's a portion of the itinerary that's called speaker's communication.
Mm-hmm.
The speaker say, I know this might be out of the speech, right? But Runks, what do you got to say?
Let me hear you out.
Yeah. I want you to tell me what you think. And the prime minister doesn't say anything. The prime minister tries to carry on with the business of the house. The speaker says, cuts.
What
cuts,
you got
to
say?
Let's back up. He said, well, Mr. Speaker, I have laid on the table of the parliament a resolution for, I don't remember what the resolution was about. The speaker said, yeah, we ain't reached that yet. He said, well, we're on the itinerary, are we, Mr. Speaker? The speaker said, oh, you good at playing crazy. This is how it happened, right? Speaker say, I thought you was only funny looking. You actually look like something wrong with your hair too, right? So then the speaker gets up and say, Mr., we ain't no resolution for nothing nowhere. We on communication by the speaker. So the prime minister says, well, communication by the speaker means that you should be talking, not me. So the speaker says, yeah, Runks, and now I talking
to you.
To you.
Yeah.
And I want you
to talk, say what you got to say.
To me.
Yeah, say what you got to say.
So the prime minister gets up and says, you know, Mr. Speaker, I was taught that communications ought never be contentious. And it is on that note, Mr. Speaker, that I will not answer. And tries to proceed with laying the resolution.
Yeah, you trying to duck out from what you got to say.
Speaker says, this boy, really, he ain't see I-6-foot-8. He ain't see I-6-foot-8. The only person in the parliament as tall as Mr. Minnis is Mr. Moultrie. And the two of them named HM. They're two initials. They're HM.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a battle of the HMs, right? So, Elsway Johnson, as polished as he is, God bless his heart. He's a good Christian boy.
I think he's safe.
Yeah, he gets up and says, Mr. Speaker, you know, all kind of language being used in here today. And the speaker say, but you hear me use contentious language? I can't tell you that you ain't interpret my language to be contentious. But I could tell you one thing. Harley Moultrie ain't use no contentious language. Right? But Frankie Campbell gets up. I think he half saved. And he gets up and he says, you know something? I got to referee this because there's 3 6-foot dudes fighting in here now. And if I break out in here, ain't nobody in here bigger than them.
No, they win. They win automatic.
Yeah, so we are going to have to make sure that these 3 6-foot dudes don't start fighting one another. And that's what's been happening in the House of Assembly yesterday. This was going on around town, Mr. Dashler.
Well, you know, since the pandemic, I've been trying to stay away from them boxing match and referee them going on in the parliament because... last time I checked them, they wasn't safe, man. Mm-hmm. So I try to stay away from the unsafe people because I see myself as a safe man.
But you back to work, public transportation?
Yeah, I'm back to work. I've been back to work since they opened up last year. I think it was around November for the Christmas holidays or whatever it is. Slowly progressing. It isn't where it should be.
Yeah.
But from to where we are now from a year ago, it's better than being home. You know, I'd rather come out and make $20 and be home and don't have nothing. But tourism is slowly gearing up and getting back to where it should be. It isn't there. So if it's 100% feel like about 25%, 30%.
Okay. But, you know, a little bit of love is better than no love at all, eh?
I'll take that little bit of love.
Even if it's a little bit of love on a Sunday.
I'll take that.
All right. Okay. So I've kind of thought about the speaker and the prime minister's interactions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you ever watch 300?
I watch all the 300.
Yeah, I watch 300 times, right? And I can't help but think to myself that this kind of looked like 300 being played out, right?
Yeah.
So the pandemic happens.
Mm-hmm.
The prime minister and his advisors realize that there's something called emergency powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his advisors whisper to him and they say, you know what, prime minister? If this COVID thing is real, right? You get an opportunity to do something no other prime minister has ever done.
Yeah.
So he said, well, tell me about this. So they say, well, we've had one premier, well, two premiers,
mm-hmm.
Or a premier and then premier turned prime minister,
mm-hmm.
and we've had two prime ministers.
Yeah.
Never have we had a God king. We have not ever had one of them.
Jake Sears.
Yeah, so he would say, but I told. That had to be half of the requirement, right?
Yeah.
So his advisors, I imagine Carl Bettle was there. Carl Bettle say, listen to me. Let me show you in the law where we could do this. Right?
Yeah.
What is the name of the woman in 300, the second 300?
Amma Eltis.
I know Feltis is the one from 300 original. That's the hatchback or the humpback.
Amma, something. It's right on woman, the general.
Right. I believe that's Carl, mm-hmm. right? And Carl Daly would minister, the doctor, the honorable, he would minister. Chief.
Most honorable.
This our opportunity right here,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you pull this off, no other prime minister can ever be able to say they ever realistic like you.
God,
you ain't going to be prime minister.
Yeah.
You could be Hubert Alexander Minnis, the most honorable, competent authority, / God gang.
Boy,
huh?
That's a big move.
That's kind of how it sounded like it got out to be, right? So here's the scene from 300 that I thought about. And if you've watched 300, you could text me, 422-4796. Mr. International is in the studio with me. Ali, you got my first clip ready. Let's go to the first clip. Here is the beginning of the pandemic. When Hubert Alexander Minnis, the most honorable, competent authority, prime minister of the Commonwealth, I think he's chair of the CARICOM too. He got plenty tidy, boy.
What?
Gets his ascension to God King.
You will be a God King. Artemisia gathered the priests, wizards, and mystics from every corner of the empire. They wrapped the young king in Cimmerian gauze dipped in ancient potions and set him to wander the desert. Till in a delirium of heat and thirst, he stumbled upon a hermit's cave. Xerxes passed the vacant eyes and empty souls of the hollow creatures that dwell in the dark corners of all men's hearts. And in that darkness, he surrendered himself completely to power so evil and perverse that as he emerged, no part of a human man that was Xerxes survived. His eyes blazed like scarlet coals. He was stripped, cleansed, glabrous and smooth. Xerxes was reborn a god. Artemisia trusted no one. So in the cover of night, the palace was cleansed of all Xerxes' allies. All those he trusted. All those who had raised him. All those he had once looked to for counsel were quickly introduced to her wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And as the God King stood before his people, Artemisia watched her flawless manipulation take shape.
For glory's sake. For vengeance's sake. War!
And so you remember the Prime Minister would get up every Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. And you heard they talked about how all of his closest allies and friends had been cut off, but not closest. Dwayne Sands, out of here.
Gone.
Dr. DeLon Brennan, out of here.
Gone.
Venetia Rose.
Gone.
And he would get up and he would say, my fellow Bahamian citizens and residents. That right there was the part where Xerxes stands on the mount.
Yeah.
And he ascends as the God King Xerxes.
War.
Yeah, that is how I imagine it happened as the competent authority got his competency in authority during the emergency orders, yeah. And so, you know, I imagine Halimutri is watching this. He says, you know something, I told. I tall. I don't really get what's going on, right? So he started digging up the how to become a God King handbook. And he checks the story and he says, my only space in the story is one God King.
Yeah.
You know who I have to be?
Leonidas.
Yeah. I done figured this out. They ain't gonna let me live. I can't be a God King. There's only enough space for one God King. So now I gotta figure out how to beat the God King, right? And so I imagine we near 1 year of the pandemic. The speaker is tired of the prime minister having all this control because technically the prime minister shut down every other ministry for months.
Yeah, yeah.
And even people like chairmen of authorities or chairpersons of authorities can't function in their authority because all authority lies
in the competent authority.
In the competent authority, right?
Yeah.
And so the prime minister says, boy, it may almost be time for me to go back to election. My God Kingness wearing off, yeah. Right? But while I got it, I can start making some deals. So he calls Halimutri up because he peeps the card and say, Hali, look like Hali trying to become a God King too. So he tells Hali, listen to me. There's only room here for one man. If you bow, here is what I will do for you.
My knee.
I will make you ambassador to London.
Wow.
Yeah? According to the speaker. This is the speaker's account. All right? And here's the scene from 300 where I think reenacts the conversation between the prime minister and his purported ambassador to London.
Let me guess. You must be Xerxes.
Come, Leonidas. Let us reason together. It would be a regrettable waste. It would be nothing short of madness for you, brave king, and your valiant troops to perish. All because of a simple misunderstanding. There is much our cultures could share.
Haven't you noticed we've been sharing our culture with you all morning?
Yours is a fascinating tribe. Even now you are defiant. In the face of annihilation and the presence of a god, it isn't wise to stand against me, Leonidas. Imagine what horrible fate awaits my enemies when I would gladly kill any of my own men for victory.
And I would die for any one of mine.
You Greeks take pride in your logic. I suggest you imply it. Consider the beautiful land you so vigorously defend. Picture it reduced to ash at my whim. Consider the fate of your women.
Clearly, you don't know our women. I might as well have marched them up here, judging by what I've seen. You have many slaves, Xerxes. A few warriors. It won't be long before they fear my spears more than your whips.
not the lash they fear. It is my divine power that I am a generous god. I can make you rich beyond all measure. I will make you warlord of all Greece. You will carry my battle standard to the heart of Europa. Your Athenian rivals will kneel at your feet. If you will but kneel at mine.
You are generous, as you are divine, O King of Kings. Such an offer only a madman would refuse. But the idea of kneeling, it's, you see, slaughtering all those men of yours has left a nasty crunk in my leg, so kneeling will be hard for me.
There will be no glory in your sacrifice. I will erase even the memory of Sparta from the histories. Every piece of Greek parchment shall be burned. Every Greek historian and every scribe shall have their eyes put out and their tongues cut for their mouth. Why, uttering the very name of Sparta or Leonidas will be punishable by death. The world will never know you existed at all.
The world will know that free men stood against a tyrant, that few stood against many. And before this battle was over, that even a god king can bleed.
And so you hear the part where Xerxes tells Leonidas, listen, Leonidas, let's don't fool with this war. You do pretty well. You march up here, right? You've been cussing people out in the news all this time, Mr. Speaker. You're doing good. The people impressed with you. You even got a couple of people outside in the square shouting your name. Mm-hmm. But that will amount to nothing if you try to test me, all right? If you bow now, Mr. Speaker, I can make you an ambassador. People can call you Your Excellency. You're tall. You'll be tall in all the pictures. your wife could be there with you.
Yeah.
She could put on a nice hat.
You'll be seen by many.
Yeah. You could even get to go meet the Queen. That's what I could do for you, Mrs. Speaker. Speaker of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, sound good. His Excellency,
yeah.
Ambassador to London.
Hey, Jim.
Think about that. I imagine the Speaker say, you know something. That would mean I have to let this man continue on in power. Yeah.
No, sir.
No, chief. That ain't gonna work for me. Right? So the prime minister says to him, okay, let me tell you something. David ain't gonna remember the name Alison Moultrie in Nassau Village. I don't care. I will cut Nassau Village.
In tree? You cut that right off.
I will cut Nassau Village in 6 pieces. You will be in Holy Cross by the time as I finish. Trust me, you don't want to blame it, be Ali, right? This is how I imagine the conversation going. This is all conjecture, and I have no proof of any of this, but this is what I imagine happened. And I believe the speaker look at him and say, you only prime minister, you know. Don't mind all these other titles they keep calling you, my man. You is prime minister. And before the end of this 5 years is up, I gonna prove to you why I is the speaker. Your job protected in the Constitution, but guess what? So is mine.
Yeah.
Right? And so 300 goes on further, and this is a bit closer to the end. And Leonidas finally marches his men up to Xerxes, right? Because the Persian army finds the goat pond, right? So now they're killing Spartans left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And Leonidas says, you know something? We got to get close enough to him for me to hit him. All right? But he has on the weight of all this stuff, right? He has on all this stuff that he has to kind of shake and take off, right?
Take off what he sheen and dance.
So he has his hope for a nomination. He got to take that off. His title as FNM member of parliament, for he got to take that off.
Shake that.
Why? Because in order to hit a god king, you got to be able to throw far, right? You got to be able to reach deep. So now the speaker pulling out things that no prime minister has ever seen. And it's because this ain't a prime minister, right? This is
god king.
The god king. So this is what happens with the prime minister and the speaker of the House of Assembly in the next clip. Let's go, Ali.
The 300 at his back. Ready to die for him without a moment's pause. Every one of them ready to die. This helmet is stifling.
You there, the Beatis. May he live forever.
Leonidas. Your spear!
Stifling. It narrowed his vision, and he must see far. His shield was heavy. It threw him off balance, and his target is far away. One say we Spartans are descended from Hercules himself. Bold Leonidas gives testament to our bloodline. His roar is long and loud.
And so that is the scene where Leonidas actually throws the spear, right? Hits Xerxes, pops the earring out of his jaw, blood comes out. And you realize, wait a minute, he might only be a man. He may only be a man, right? Mm-hmm. So you see, it says Leonidas had to take off his helmet. It was narrow in his vision. That was his title as FNM.
Mm-hmm.
His shield was heavy. That was his hopes for a new nomination. Right? And he take up his spear and he say, I am from the bloodline of Hercules himself. So he, remember now, they say Halcyon Muji was around Switzerland and Finland,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he said, let me show you the fellas I trained with, yeah? You think I display, I'll suspend the whole parliament. Now what you could do? And the prime minister sits there, unable to do anything, except for sit and watch in absolute dismay, right? And if you know that scene in the movie, you know, Leonidas, those all die.
Yeah.
Oh, but they kill plenty fellas. They kill plenty fellas in that scene, right? And so the prime minister, we kind of go back in 300, right?
Mm-hmm.
The prime minister allows that to happen. It takes place. It's 2 weeks ago. And so now we get back to the parliament May 3rd, which is when the speaker adjourns the house to, right? And we realize that the prime minister has now acquiesced to some of the requests of the speaker, right? And so they did the little thing at the prime minister's office. Y'all, he ain't invite the speaker. Go on, test up all his staff, right? The speaker say, I come here to work this morning. The two people who supposed to be allegiance to the speaker ain't here. Oh, but the girl who work for cabinet,
she here.
President accounted for. I ain't her boss. You is her boss. And I don't know where my people is, all right? And while you're at it, chief, you ain't pay my people overtime in a little while.
We can
what's
that.
Happening with that, right?
We can need that.
Right? And I thought that the prime minister's response yesterday proved very easily the scene from this cliff here at 300. Alandon, let's go.
Of the dark will of Persian kings for 500 years. Eyes as dark as night. Teeth filed to fangs. Soulless. The personal guard to King Xerxes himself. The Persian warrior elite. The deadliest fighting force in all of Asia. The immortals. The God King has betrayed a fatal flaw. Hubris. Easy to taunt, easy to trick. Before wounds and weariness have taken their toll, the Mad King throws the best he has at us. Xerxes has taken the bait.
Spartans, push!
Immortals, we put their name to the test.
So the speaker says yesterday, Mr. International, if you're just joining me, I don't know what we're doing. I am going through in my mind scenes from 300. I'm joined by my good friend, Mr. International. He's world-renowned. Mr. International, Johnny Bravo. You know him as public transportation extraordinaire. And the internet sensation that generated the Life of Miss Lundy series on Facebook. You got to get some new series out, by the way.
Yeah.
And we are kind of going through the goings-on of what happened in between the 2 6-foot dudes, the two tallest dudes in the whole... Maybe Vaughn Miller got them in the bag.
Vaughn might.
But definitely two of the tallest men in the parliament, right? Having a bit of a spat. Mm. That's what it's called. And the prime minister, Xerxes, and of course...
Leonidas
as the speaker of the House of Assembly. And... in that scene that they talk about the immortals, right? So the prime minister has the immortals, the oligarchs and the cabinet, right? Men whose teeth have been sharpened into fangs. Their eyes are dark with evil. And don't say I'm making this up. The prime minister, the speaker say, you all remind him of Ephesians 6 and 11, right? Or Ephesians 6 and 12, whichever one of them it is. You know, for we wrestle not against flesh or blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we talking about. I imagine he meaning the fellas sitting in the executive bench because he been talking about the executive bench the whole time. So y'all are the immortals. Negroes interested in spiritual wickedness. Right? This is my words. This is what Halton Bouldry say.
Yeah.
Okay? He say, this is an Ephesians 6 and 12 moment in here today. His words. So I went and I read Ephesians 6 and 12. Not that I didn't know it. I just wanted to make sure I get all the words. For we wrestle not against flesh or blood.
Spiritual wickedness.
But against principalities, mm-hmm. against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, right? He mean your all cabinet. That's what he mean. The cabinet of the Bahamas and the oligarchs we can't see. He say, immortals, that's what y'all call
you
yourself.
Put y'all to the test.
Oh, we can test that. Let me see how y'all could do anything lest you could come in here. And you got two choices. You could either make me go missing and that illegal, or you could ring the bell. Xerxes,
yeah.
Oh, great God, king.
What you gonna do?
Right? And so the prime minister sits down yesterday. You could see it on his face. He wears it. Right? A fatal flaw. A fatal flaw. The God King proves that he's easy to taunt. Easy to get frustrated. He starts to send his best. Even before Spartans were tired.
Yeah.
We ain't tired yet. You call it the immortals.
You call it, and they're supposed to be the best.
We just start killing. How much? We only kill 1 million of y'all? I heard it was but 10 million of y'all. We ain't warm yet. You sure you don't want to bring these fellas in like the 5th million or the 6 million? And so, of course, the prime minister, yesterday, not a very good showing. Luckily, the immortals came to his rescue. Frankie Gamble.
Elsewhere
Johnson. The immortals. They've come to his rescue. They've rescued him out of there. And they called for the adjournment. A 15-minute adjournment that later on turned out to be a 40-minute adjournment. And they come back and nobody say nothing. Everybody just quiet. Right? I love it. I love it. And then you see the tempers still flare up and spill over a little later on in the House of Assembly as they kick and brave the
Assembly.
Yeah. So I believe that Alton Moultrie has got them right where he wants them. I don't think they could get away from him.
Do you think he realized that a God King could bleed now?
Well, we've proven the God King could bleed. We proved that. I think we proved that yesterday. Yesterday's move proved that the God King
could bleed.
Even a God King could bleed, right? 323-623-2325-431-6325-4259. You can text me 422-4796. I'm in studio, my good friend. Mr. International Johnny Bravo is with me. Let's read a couple of these messages, Bravo. It says, what's happening here? The speaker makes me think of Eric Cartman. The speaker makes me think of Eric Cartman from South Park. And his famous, why is this not opening? What's happening? Okay, give me a second. There it is. And his famous quote, respect my authority. Brother Miller, you're killing us this morning. You're spot on. Miller, your humor is point on. You have to be laughing this morning, but you better stop. I just tell it, see, this was happened when I was only child for 5 years. My imagination is very gullible. And I use it to tell myself stories, right? So don't blame me. I tell you what I saw on the TV, and I tell you what come to my mind and my head. This says that that's part one, not part, this is not part two, not part one. I know. God King, the Right Honorable Competent Authority, face of his name, Hubert Minnis. All right. What other nonsense this morning? All right. Well, listen, the duty of media is to inform, to educate, and to entertain. So if I'm not informing or educating you, I hope that you are, at the very least, entertained. Miller, you're spot on this morning, bro. This one says, Renwood Wells probably stayed out because he witnessed castration defeated testicular fortitude. Oh, Lord. This one's for Dwight. Dwight, please fire leaving on the air to send a message to those that follow him. Mr. Miller, Mr. Moultrie is a huge disappointment to me as someone who supported him. I remember the devil knows how to quote scripture. All right, let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Morning, Lee. How you doing?
I feel good.
Excellent this morning. Excellent. But you know what the problem is with behemoths? Mm-hmm. Behemoths don't like when things go right. That's mm-hmm. a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like that last text we're talking about, Mr. Moultrie is well within his purview for doing what he's doing, and it should have been done long years ago inside the House of Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, you got the rules backwards. In the House of Assembly, Alton Moultrie is the God King.
Wow.
You understand me?
Yeah.
I'm the pride, the honorable is the United.
Yeah.
Who think he's all powerful. But Moultrie pulled out his trump card in terms of the mate.
Mm-hmm.
You see, inside the House of Assembly, the Prime Minister is just a member of Parliament
yeah.
in the presence of Her Majesty the Queen.
Yes.
See, a lot of behemoths don't understand how that works. You see?
Mm-hmm.
He is in charge in the presence of a majesty.
So you're saying
queen.
Moultrie is the God King in there?
Moultrie is the God King in there.
Okay.
You All see? Right. And you know, the United, we expected the United the most powerful, but he, the God King, followed a deal on him and the Prime Minister eventually died.
Well, because I was about to tell you, Leonidas dies in the end.
That's where the Prime Minister is going to die. because the things with Moultrie doing now, the people with sense, like myself and you and Mr. Bravo, Johnny Bravo in there, we understand what is going on. Moultrie is brick by brick taking the Prime Minister down with the powers he have inside the House of Representatives. None of them is bigger than the seat of authority in there.
All right, I hear my music. I go into a break. Appreciate you. 323-622-3254-316-325-4259 when we get back. Hudson Moultrie, Hubert Minnis. Xerxes, the God King, versus King Leonidas. We'll be back after this.
Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity. We're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours.
We're back. Thank you so much for staying with me. Someone here says, who is that idiot asking for you to be fired? I don't know. Levin, you definitely have me entertained this morning. I love it. I'm laughing out loud, for real. We need to laugh sometimes. If not, we'll cry. Mr. Miller, they need to extend your show to another hour. His name is Dwight Strawn. You could write him a letter. I think it's at dwightstrawn@nascar.com. I got one last scene here, Bravo. Let's go for it. Let's do it quickly. And so this is the scene where Leonidas knows that he's going to die, right? And Leonidas said, listen, I know I ain't getting no nomination. I know they're running me. I know the party ain't. I know after this, I either have to go be a meteorologist or a lawyer, because that's what my 2 degrees in, right? Yeah. And I am A-okay with that. I ask y'all to do one thing. Remember me. Remember that brave man stood in the face of a tyrant. Yeah. Remember, we get killed. They kill us. That part in the story, too. But remember that we stood
free
and
men.
We fight. Yeah. And so this is the scene. This is the scene where I think the Speaker of the House of Assembly woke up at this morning. Ali?
Remember us. As simple an order as a king can give. Remember why we died. He did not wish tribute or song. No monuments, no poems of war and valor. Wish was simple. Remember us, he said to me. That was his hope. Should any free soul come across that place, in all the countless centuries yet to be, may all our voices whisper to you from the ageless stones. Go tell the Spartans passerby that here, by Spartan law, we lie. And so my king died, and my brothers died. Barely a year ago, long I pondered my king's cryptic talk of victory. Time has proven him wise. For from free Greek to free Greek, the word was spread that bold Leonidas and his 300, so far from home, laid down their lives, not just for Sparta, but for all Greece and the promise this country holds. Now, here on this rugged patch of earth called Plataea, Xerxes' hordes face obliteration! Ow! Just there, the The barbarians have her. Sheer terror gripping tight. Their hearts with icy fingers, knowing full well what merciless horrors they suffered at the swords and spears of 300. Yet they stare now across the plain at 10,000 Spartans commanding 30,000 free Greeks. Ho! The enemy outnumber us a paltry 3-1. Good odds for any Greek. This day, we rescue a world from mysticism and tyranny, and usher in a future brighter than anything we can imagine.
And so the speaker sends a message to any speaker that will come behind him that as you march past here, you make sure you let them know that Leonidas passed here and brave men fought and died here. Bravo, that's my music. We out of time, buddy.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you having me on with your man.
Thank you so much for being on. You still on Facebook?
Yeah, he's still on Facebook.
Dion Delancey?
Dion Delancey. Mr. International.
Mr. International, yeah. Johnny Bravo. Anyway, that's my time. Thank you so much for being with me. I'm Levin Miller. You know that voice. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, though. The station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. News, it's now.
Is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion.